Hello, bonjour. Speaking French because I am in the middle of an extended French school with university for the French module that I'm doing at the moment. So, but I'm going to speak English today. Hello, welcome to Wear the Dress or whatever alternative you like. My name is Leah, and today I'm going to briefly speak about intentional living because basically, if you read the bio bit, the about bit to this podcast, it's really about intentional living. There's many different topics we cover, many the areas in my life and expertise, as well as having guests on in their expertise and some shared expertise. General topics, but really the overall theme is intentional living. And I'm going to briefly speak about how I interpret that. Okay, there's lots about it on YouTube and all sorts, and I actually have a newly forming YouTube channel called Faces Intentional and Essential Living. It's at Crisis Intentional Essential, I think. I think I should know, really, shouldn't I? It's just newly forming, and I'm not leaping too deeply into the YouTube space yet. Thinking about the intentionality of it for me as well. I don't want to be beholden constantly to YouTube. Of course, I want followers, but I don't want to be answering comments all the time. I don't mean that I don't care, but it's how I want to spread out my time. And, to be honest, after having a breast cancer diagnosis in 2019, how I spend my time has become even more on my radar of intentional living. None of us really know how much time we've got left, do we? But sometimes such a diagnosis can bring it much more into the forefront, but that's another related topic for another time. But intentional living, essential living. Essential doesn't just mean basics, essential means what's essential to you. Intentional to what is it to be intentional? If we're to look at that in terms of dictionary definitions for a moment, it means in a planned or intended way. Intentionally is an adverb, it's deliberately on purpose. So deliberately or on purpose. I like that word, purpose. To have purpose. So if we look at the word deliberately as well, to do something deliberately, you did it on purpose. So intentional living, if we're to take, say, something like intentional buying or intentional spending, for example, slowing down the fashion loop, which is something that's important to me, to sustainability. It doesn't mean I never buy fashion and I don't judge other people who buy fashion. We all have different reasons, it's about intentionality and how we value our garments, whether we actually wear them. If you buy a fashion garment and you wear it often, get really good cost per wear, make it last, care for it, style it in different ways, or in the same way, if you just want the same way, that's okay too. Doesn't have to be a dress, of course. even though this podcast is Wear the Dress, but it's whatever alternative you like. I just happen to love dresses. That's part of my joy. That's part of intentionality for me, but not overbuying them. I hope I make mistakes sometimes, but I'm not going to judge people or judge myself for buying fast fashion if it's done in an intentional way. And even if it's not my place to judge anyone else either. So, it's, but I like to buy deliberately, on purpose, with thought. In a planned way, planning out my wardrobe and the colours, knowing my colour season for me, the true autumn, knowing my Kibi ID as well, that really that really helps. I can actually get away with a lot of theatrical romantic lines and a lot of soft classic lines. Soft classic with a bit of drama to them, I think. But, you know, I'm 5'3". I'm petite. I'm not without, I'd say, gentle curve. That's for another episode anyway, to talk more about that. But knowing I need to accommodate petite, it's really important. I've bought many things that have ended up trailing on the floor. Then you have to then pay a seamstress to do it or learn to sew properly myself. I should have really learnt properly during the costume module in the second year of my drama degree. But how did I pass that? I don't know. I would like to learn to sew again. Maybe that's part of my intentional living, but one thing at a time. But, you know, if I accommodate petite, that really helps, whether it's buying in the petite section or keeping things not too oversized. Oversized stuff don't work well on me. I end up looking wider. Nothing wrong with that, but, you know, not accommodating that gentle curve that I have, that petite, that petiteness, it, you know, even moderate sort of length, that works better for me, that I'm not having to pay a seamstress or take time to alter the garments, or, you know, so no, my Kibi ID helps. I think it really helps with confidence, and I'm going to get into talking more about that to you all another time. But knowing those things, and as a true autumn, I know colours that really look lovely. It doesn't mean I can't wear colours that don't look lovely on me, but I try to keep those away from my face. Okay, black's really useful. It's not the best colour near my face, it's not bad, but, you know, if I keep it in shoes or in a pair of trousers or something. I do have a black coat. It's very functional and useful. I do have a couple of literal black dresses. Certain things like funerals that call for black, that's needed out of respect. Not all funerals call for black. So there's a place for it, but I keep it away from my face. So that helps me. I might love a colour, but if near my face I look like drained, like in certain cool greys I look drained, even if I loved that, I'd look in the mirror and think, oh, that looks awful, and probably never wear it. So I can have something else in grey, a grey handbag or something. See what I mean? So that helps me. And it's all deliberate, on purpose, taking time to learn those systems, do some training around the systems, you know, so I can help myself and help others with their own wardrobe planning. So there's the word planning, in a planned way, intentional way. And of course, I'm just using wardrobe as an example here. It can also be time that might be keeping schedules or having to-do lists, learning time blocking. Again, something I'll get into another time, but it's blocking off sections of time to do certain things. Learning habit stacking, stacking one habit on top of another, so you actually do things that you intend to do. But there's, you know, there's many ways we can live intentionally, not just wardrobes or time. Am I living intentionally with the work that I do? Not 100%. It's well on the way. It needs tweaking. Have I got my ladders up the right wall? Or have I just been trying to impress or compete? You know, that I'll hold my hand up. I do that sometimes. But on purpose. So if you notice, deliberately on purpose. Let's take buying. It doesn't mean don't buy something. I think sometimes things like minimalism can sometimes get into owning very little. I'm not saying always, and again, that suits some people. I would rather have two beautiful dresses that I love that are really well made than 20 that they're nice, not greatly made, you know, but there can be that pull to have more in us as humans. So I'll own it in me sometimes that I'd rather have two beautiful, say Cézanne dresses, but does that mean I only gonna have two? No, I'm somebody who might need a few more or might want a few more than two. But to be in line with who I am as a person, it might be a kind of need. Not a need, but a need to be in alignment with me, if that makes any sense at all. You know, so that would still be deliberately and on purpose, so long as I would wear them. Get good cost per wear because they're important to me, but it's for you to set your own parameters. I'm not going to sit here as judge and jury. I do my bit to help with sustainability. I get it wrong sometimes, I make mistakes, but I do my best, and I just hope others are doing their best in line with what works for you, one step at a time. Yeah, being deliberate, being intentional. Is having some planning, having some thoughtfulness around it, doesn't mean you can't buy that dress. Yeah. But I have certain questions I ask myself. What will happen to that garment when I finish with it? Will I donate it? Will I give it to someone? Will I make it into like a hammock for my rats, not necessarily by sewing, just by cutting bits and tying it up in the cage. I do want to learn to sew properly, really do, because I've been designing dresses, but that's a little secret, you know. I'm really proud of them, something I'd like to move further into in a very deliberate on purpose way, and looking at what time I've got lots of assessments coming up with uni at the moment, so you know, being intentional with my time and with my energy. I'm not at my wellest at the moment. My skin's still not great. I've still got B12 and iron that needs regulating after Christmas and that rash and everything. And I think it's linked to like the breast cancer treatment and stuff like that. But I'm still finding out. Nothing to do with nutrition or women's cycles for me, because they're not both not an issue, but yeah, it's still, I have to watch my energy. Am I being intentional about where I put my energy? What are the energy vampires around me saying no to people? To me, that's part of intentional living. Yeah, it's ladders up the right wall. Right items for you in your closet, or wardrobe. I'm not in America, you know. I keep saying closet, you know. Time. How are you spending your time? Are you spending time in line with your values? Okay, not everything we do is always in line with 100% our values, but we can bring our values into that, or what lights us up into that. I don't necessarily like cage cleaning for my pet rats, but I value them having a clean enough, I have to say spotless all the time, cage. I value those animals and their health and keeping their environment nice, and my babies. So I value my connection with them and doing that for them. So in that way, I can bring intentionality, even joy, kind of, into cleaning their cage. There is some joy when I see it all done, especially if they've got some new boxes and hammocks in there, and you know, it's lovely when they start exploring it. Saying that, spend more time out the cage than bloody in cage. The rule, but they're part of my intention of living and part of why I want to put my energy, my time, my money. How do we spend money intentionally? I don't always. I make mistakes, I learn the hard way. Sometimes I think we all do, well, not all, but many of us. But yeah, so time, money, So what's in our closet? Our work? Our pastimes? Have we made our space that we live in intentional for us? Are things accessible to meet what we need to do? Could have intentional routines, planned on purpose routines. Doesn't mean we have to be rigid. If that's not your style, that's fine. If it is your style, that's fine too. As long as nothing we do is holding us back. Yeah. Whatever that may mean, that's a whole other conversation for another time. But yeah, so intentionally, deliberately, on purpose. I didn't do it intentionally. I wasn't sure if that was intentionally funny or not. The two examples I'm just looking at here on my screen. So we can use the opposite. I didn't do it intentionally. There's no intentionality there. It just kind of happened or just slipped out. So in a planned or intended way. And, you know, I think intentionality can also have spontaneity embedded in it. It's like having boundaries, isn't it? And you can be free within those boundaries. If you've got fences around and you let your dog out to play, the dog can run amok, do zoomies, have a great time within those boundaries that are intentionally placed. So freedom and boundaries, intentionality and spontaneity, in my mind, they go together. So living intentionally, you know, is there any more examples that spring to mind? Eating intentionally doesn't mean eating only so-called healthy foods. Food to me is just food. It's things in moderation with it. Can eat chocolate, but if I eat chocolate for every meal, that's not going to serve my health. But I do love chocolate, so I will have it. But I'm intentional about balancing other nutrients. Not always perfect, right? Some days don't get my so-called five a day or whatever of fruit and veg. Some days I do. As long as I keep a broader intentional view. Sometimes I intentionally choose to eat the less healthy food. I want a McDonald's, I choose to intentionally have that because I want to have that. It's food I will finish off, won't waste any of it. I enjoy it. Don't eat it every day. It's also, I'll be honest, McDonald's is a go-to for me when I've had a bereavement. You know, there's sort of bereavements where the walls feel dark. It's the shock. In that shock time, when going and cooking something in the kitchen, I hate cooking. It's not part of my intentional living, but I still need to cook to eat, you know. And I'm not brilliant at it, and I have no intention of taking classes in it. I would like to learn a couple of dishes that really well. I mean, I can cook. I survive, you know, but I'm not a cook. I'm not great at it. The last thing I want doesn't bring me joy to go cook in the kitchen at times of bereavement. And I say that because there's been a couple of major bereavements in the last year or so when my heart's been shattered. And what I noticed I did was for a couple of days in a row order McDonald's for tea or dinner, whatever you want to call it. Up here in Yorkshire, we say tea. If it was delivered to me, I knew I'd finish it, eat it, actually maybe even enjoy it a bit. I was fed those couple of days without having to cook. Did other things. My life still did my ballet, because that's a major intentional, meaningful part of my life, and it's one of the ladders up the right wall for me. Doesn't mean my heart wasn't heavy doing it. I could feel my heart heavy doing it, but I knew my body and my grieving process would thank me for it. I did my ballet, but I didn't cook and ordered McDonald's. So it's like, yeah, that's paying money for takeout. I had it delivered, but it was what I needed to do at that time. Yeah. So buying McDonald's can be intentional living for me when I have really difficult bereavements. For some people, it might not be the way forward. Some people have certain difficulties around food and eating where that might be too triggering for them. For some people, it might be liberating to do that. So anything that says, oh, you should never buy that dress or shouldn't order takeout, that's not living intentionally. Oh, that's wasteful. It's not. It's what you're doing with the why, with a planfulness, with intention. Yeah? It's not about how many of things you have. It's not even fully about, if we're talking about wardrobe, whether you buy from a sustainable brand or not. It's not possible for everyone. I personally don't like some of the designs in some sustainable brands. Not to say they're not good, they're just not my taste. Yes, I'm designing my own at the moment. I like some, but I know what I like and what suits me or more at this. And that's not always in line with intentional sustainable brands for me. Doesn't mean I don't support those brands. There's certain things I might get from them, but it's about what I will actually wear, make use of, take care of, and can afford at any given time. Work's reduced a bit at the moment, and since studying full time as well as working, and this health thing going on. So I have to be more intentional about money. But I want to be more intentional about money. I don't want to work to think, oh, where did that money go? What have I bought? Oh, nothing really. That wasn't, you know. I work hard and I want to have something to show for that, whatever that may mean, whether that's a dress I wear, whether that is a McDonald's during the bereavement time, whether that's new hammocks for my rats, or whether that's going towards another education module. I mean, we all have different things that mean something to us, and that is what intentional living is, what means something to you. Even what's part of your legacy, in a way, not always. McDonald's isn't part of my legacy, but... But actually saying it's okay to have something like that, to not cook when you're grieving, I hope is part of my legacy. You know, helping people to process things like their grief, you know, and not beat themselves up because they don't want to go and cook for themselves or the family during that time. Or if they hate cooking like I do, you know, it's... want to tell us up there, so I hope that is part of my legacy, not my whole legacy. So that's my brief-ish overview of what intentional living is for me. I haven't really gone into essentialism or essential living. How would I see that? So I'd see that what is essential for me, not just in terms of basic needs, but in terms of essential to bring me joy in life, essential to my purpose, to my potential, which is going to be different for you, for me, with different people, we might have some similarities. So, yeah, I've sort of spoken about this from my perspective, because in terms of how I live intentionally, that's the only perspective I've got. I'm not going into too much personal detail and depth about some areas, but just sort of areas that wouldn't be inappropriate to talk about on a podcast, and areas that I'm pretty much known for anyway. So what might be intentional for you? How would you interpret intentional living? I don't have the monopoly on the description of it. You might see it differently. You might disagree with some things I've said, maybe about sort of wardrobe. You might have a different view. No, it's but for you, intentional living might be to go with like the 333 project, if you've heard of that, from Courtney Carvel. It's a great project for a capsule wardrobe and 33 items for 3 months, and that might work for you. I've tried it. I can make it work, but then I've always this dress I've got in the hung in a different wardrobe or something that I want to bring in, and you can do that in that project. But for me, 33 items doesn't work. But Courtney Carver doesn't say it has to be 33 items. You're allowed to flex it up to suit yourself. Saying that, it's something I would like to maybe try again, because with 33, because I don't necessarily wear everything. I'm doing a lot of work from home now in the study. I've invested in a lot more loungewear and pyjamas that are totally in line with me, my personality, my colours, my kibby type, right, you know, so it's, yeah, some of the more dressed up stuff I'm not really wearing as much, but I'm making my pyjamas and loungewear really reflect my colouring, kibby ID, what I like, little frills on the arms, things like that, you know, things that make me. So maybe trying the 333 would be a good thing for me if I'm wearing less of the more dressed up clothes or day clothes. But yeah, but 333 might be a great project for you ongoing. Someone else, it's like, no, I just can't fit myself into that number of clothes. Neither's right nor wrong. It's what works for you for intentionality. Yeah. So if 100 items works for you, then that works for you. If you will intentionally wear them, you've intentionally bought them, then that's right for you. So it's finding out what works for you. So maybe have a look at different areas of your life. Just start with one or two. Just start with one. And see where you can bring intentionality in there and what's essential for you in that. You know, what feels essential for your life, your needs, your purpose, your joy. I keep coming back to saying joy, but it's, you know, what brings you joy? If Netflix films bring you joy, then having that subscription would be an intentional purpose. If you watch it regularly, you find it nourishing to your soul, you know, and so it's totally up. That's totally up to you if that works for you. I like a bit of Netflix. You can intentionally choose what you want to watch, but that would be whatever £6-10 a month intentionally spent, if that's affordable as well for you. I know we're in an economic crisis in the UK at the moment, so it's, you know, it's, things are getting harder and harder for people to afford. But you know, for someone else, having subscriptions like Netflix, they watch it maybe once a month, don't really watch it, then they can put the money somewhere maybe better. If you watch it each day, you know, there's some things on there that are good for studies as well, some great science stuff I've had a look at, the neuroscience stuff. But then you're really getting a good bang for your buck, as they say, good cost per wear in Netflix terms. But yeah, it's deciding for you what's essential and being intentional and planned deliberately on purpose in your own way. Just choose one area. If you haven't already started on this path and you want to, just choose one area. And that's why we say wear the dress or whatever alternative you like. choose your areas of intentional living, whatever area or whatever alternative areas you like. Needn't be any that I've mentioned, but I think we all, you know, we all need money, we all need food, we all need to put clothes on, so they're sort of often, many of us need to work, so they're often good areas. Intentional relationships, I forgot about that one, but that's, oh, that's a big one, that's a big topic for another time, isn't it? Rome wasn't built in a day, this podcast wasn't built in a day. But yeah, so that's just my rather spontaneous overview for today. And it's something that's continuously evolving in my life. I do make mistakes with my own intentional living. Be kind to yourself. You know, it's all a learning process. We will come back to this. I'm going to have more guests on as well soon. Cece has asked to come back soon. Bets is going to come on. Betsy Garman and Sam said she'll come back. So if you've listened to any of those episodes with Sam and Cece before on the podcast, you know who I'm talking about. If not, you want to go and listen, do that, if that's intentional with your time. And I will speak to you soon. Take good care. This is Leah signing off from Wear the Dress or whatever alternative you like. Speak to you soon, and bye for now.